I wanted to start off with a story. And it started back in 1838. I wasn't born then, but it was soon after that. There was an Austrian physicist named Ernest Mach. Any of you heard of Ernest Mach? No? You've heard of Albert Einstein?
Yeah.
He came from there. He was after. But he was into physics. And he said this. He said, and this is where we get Mach 1 from. Have you, any of you heard of what Mach 1 is? Okay. Sound barrier, yeah. That's good. He started studying and he put out the theory of supersonic motion. Now, that was back in the 1800s, early 1900s. Okay? So, planes weren't even invented. And yet he said, in his thesis, he said that man should be able to go faster than the speed of sound. Now, how many know what the speed of sound is? Depends on what altitude you're flying at. That's between 660 and 770, depending on the altitude you fly. Any of you flown supersonic? No.
Miles per hour.
No. So back after the Second World War, the American Air Force built a jet. And they said, we are going to try and fly faster than what Ernest Mach said. So they started experimenting. So back at the United States Air Force Base, they built this jet. And everybody, all the test pilots, young guys, got into this jet and they flew. Got to 96.96.99 and everyone bailed. Because there was such turbulence, such a shaking, such a disorientation that they couldn't take it. And they bailed. But then came one young man. His name was Chuck. Chuck Yeager. Anybody have heard of Chuck Yeager? One man. Well, you're doing your history, well done. Chuck Yeager came to the thing and he said, got into this thing, a young man, I think he was about 23, 24 years old, climbed into this jet and he flew. He went through exactly the same shaking. And the guys down on the base were watching this. He got to 0.96, 0.97, 0.98, 99, and suddenly there was just this almighty sonic boom. And that's what it looks like when you go through the sound barrier. And he broke through. Everybody down below thought, he's gone, he's dead, we've lost another pilot. But he came through the other side and he suddenly realized he could fly faster, higher, and further. And there's a spiritual principle in that, is that God wants us to fly faster, higher, and further with him. But are we prepared to get into the jet? Many of us love the passenger plane. Why? Because we get our food delivered to us. Or we can go and eat the snacks at the back. But how many of you have been on a jet plane and you felt turbulence? What are you the first thing you do? Some of you pray, some of you grab hold of the seat, some of you grab hold of the woman next door to you or the man next door to you, grab hold of their legs, and you hold on tight. And you're going, are we going to die? Where's this plane going? You know, we flew over the Drakensberg once. You know where the Drakensberg is?
Yeah.
South Africa. And we hit a storm. And this plane bobbed in, 737, bobbed all over the place. And there were people crying and screaming and all sorts of things because they didn't know what was going to happen. Have you ever watched the flexibility of the wings when a jumbo takes off or the Airbus takes off and the wings start doing this and you're thinking, hey, here we go. But God wants us to fly further higher. But are we prepared to go through the shaking? Are we prepared to go through the disorientation? Are we prepared to go through that 1 second further? Because many of you sitting here, God has given promises to. And you've put them on the back burner and you say, it's never going to happen. That'll never happen. I've tried. God today says, you can. You know, I look at the band here. There is a band here. There is a band here. And it's going to be filled up again.
Amen.
Don't give up. The youth might have dwindled, but there are youth, young ones coming through. Don't give up on what God has spoken to Gateway Church. Amen?
Amen.
You with me?
Yes.
So, breakthroughs mean deeper levels in the spirit, which means faster ability to respond to the things of God, resulting in greater stability in your life. How many of you are frustrated with life? Sometimes. Many of us get frustrated, and so we start trying to do things in our own strength. And we get worse and worse and worse. Instead of going into the presence of the Lord and saying, God, what are you teaching me? You see, Chuck Yeager in 1947 broke the sound barrier. He's gone on to break many more. What does anybody know what the fastest speed is now that we've reached in a jet? It's Mach 9. You know, that day in 1947 broke into the supersonic age. That man have gone to the moon. How many of you want to break through into your destiny? You're all nodding at me. But are you prepared to get into the jet plane? Not the passenger plane, the jet plane. Any of you love roller coasters? Oh, we've got a few young people. I love roller coasters. Top Gun and all these things. You know, I was like a pig in the parlor in Florida and Universal Studios, just climbing on these things and going. My heart wouldn't take it now if I went on them. But they give you an adrenaline rush. And I'm not saying that God's going to give you adrenaline and rush. But what I'm saying is that he will give you a life that is going to be so much different than sitting in the passenger plane, all cramped up in third class or kettle class or whatever class you fly. Maybe some of you have traveled. My wife, no, she doesn't like me telling stories about her. She's the only one in my family that's had a privilege of flying first class. Because she messed up her ankle in South Africa. So they put her on, you went on Virgin, eh? Or BA, I don't know. And they put her in first class. She didn't know what to do. You know, these lovely beds and TVs and food getting served to you in glass and silver knives and forks. And she didn't know what to do. She had to watch all the other people. I'm getting distracted now. Let's get on to the message. But put your fingers into Hebrews chapter 12. And some of it has come up quite often tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. And I love Hebrews 12. And this scripture that I'm going to minister on today has been on my heart for... And Russ, just tell me when I need to shut up, okay? Just tell me. I've had enough of you now. Start it. Therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses, who's the cloud of witnesses? Not the one sitting up in heaven. You are all clouds of witnesses. I'm watching Russ and Bibi. Don't look at me like that. Now, we're watching one another so that we can run the race effectively and powerfully. With such a great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Who's run a half a marathon? Well, let's start off with 10K. We got a few here. We got a few athletics. Who's run a marathon? Well done. Okay. What do you do? Do you get dressed like this to go and run a marathon? No. What do? You start stripping off. Okay. You take all your clothes off.
Oh dear.
No, I won't do that. But you strip down to the bare necessities. So that you can run what? Further, faster, and better. That you haven't got all these hindrances. But what is happening in the world today? We are putting stuff on. More and more stuff are getting put on us. Better mobile phones, better cars, better houses, better salary, better this, better, better, better. And what we're getting is we're getting weighted down that we cannot run the race that God has intended us for to run. And he says, strip it off. No, but I can't get... I remember Rory Dyer saying this one thing. You don't know, not Rory. He said, when people today, modern man gets baptized, out comes the wallet. Out comes the mobile phone. Out comes the car keys. Then he goes into the baptism. So what is still holding that man? His mobile phone, his car keys, and his wallet. They haven't been set free. I'd love to baptize people with everything on them. Well, today's money is plastic anyway, so it's... And mobile phones can stay underwater for a few hours. But what I'm trying to say is that we need to throw off everything that so easily besets us and run the race with perseverance. Keeping your eyes fixed on who? We sang about Jesus today. Keeping our eyes fixed on the goal, Jesus. The source and perfecter of who for the joy lay before him endured the cross and despised its shame and sat down at the right hand of God. Some of you are living with shame. Jesus took your shame upon the cross. He despised it. Some of you have been feeling shame because of the way you were born or how you were born. That needs to be broken off you today. Because God has set you free. Jesus has set you free. He took your shame. Then, if you read the rest of the chapter, it talks about stripping off, casting off. It talks about discipline out of love. Oh, how many of us love that word, discipline? We love it. Abby, you loved your dad disciplining, didn't you? The only one I can pick on because she's the youngest one, yeah. I hope. Russ, you were a hard father, weren't you, hey?
You'll have to ask.
But, you know, the Bible talks about discipline of a good father to bring us joy and to bring us into a place of purpose and destiny. That's what discipline's all about. And yet we see discipline as punishment because we don't see Father, God as Father, who loves us. And only wants the best for us. God just wants to, I just feel Father just wants to baptize you tonight in the name of the Father. That you know, Father God, intimately. He's not a bad father. You might think, why am I going through this? Why me, Lord? No, because he loves you. And he wants you to walk into your destiny, into your inheritance. He's a good, good daddy. But there's a promise here that nobody wants. Look at Hebrews 12:26. How many of you have claimed this promise? It says here, his voice shook the earth at the time, but now he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now, this expression, yet once more, indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what is not shaken might remain. How many of you love a shaking? Are you, some of you love shaking. I remember my dad shaking me because I lied to the teacher. He shook me. I don't know what he was shaking before. I don't know really. Still to this day. But I got a hiding for it anyway. And then still had to go and repent and say sorry to the teacher because I lied to the teacher. It's an indelible mark on my backside. But but the thing is, there's a promise that nobody wants. If you go to Haggai, chapter 2, 6 to 9. And it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill the house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord. The glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. There's two scriptures, both in one in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament. And the writer of Hebrews talks about a shaking that is going to take place. And it's a promise. We all claim the promise boxes. Any of you had a promise box when you were growing up? And we'll pull out a promise and we claim that promise. And we'll claim the promise, by the stripes I've healed, or my God shall supply all my needs. And we claim all those promises. But how many of you claim this promise? God, shake me. Any of you? Be honest with me. One person maybe. But we don't like to be shaken. And God says, I'm going to shake all those things you've put on you, so that you can fulfill your destiny and you can run the race with perseverance. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You are sons and daughters in the house, and I'm going to bring you to a place of fulfillment so that you can receive your inheritance. That's why I told you the story of Chuck Yenga. He was prepared to go through the shaking, the turbulence, and the disorientation. And often that's what happens in our lives. The promise that we get given has got a gap from the promise it's when it's given to the promise when it's fulfilled. How many of you experienced that? Yeah. You know, some of us try and fulfill those promises, self-fulfilling prophecies. I've tried it. Don't you worry. It landed me in hospital. Not once, twice, three times. Because I tried to fulfill. And young man, don't try and fulfill what God wants to do in your life. He'll fulfill it in his time, in his place, when he wants to. You have to be patient. And we get so caught up in this promise. I've got this promise. God, you said you're going to supply all my needs. But you know, tomorrow's the 30th, and I need £200 to pay this, that, and that. And so we start getting nervous. We've all been there, haven't we? And so what do? We phone up the bank 24 hours before the rent's supposed to go through. Can you give me an overdraft to pay the rent? And we pay the rent, but what have we done? We've short-circuited. We like Chuck Yenga, not like the other test pilots that bailed, instead of trusting God for his provision in his time. Because God lives out of time. We live in time. And so everything is worked by time. God doesn't live in time. He lives in eternity.
Very good.
And when we start living and focusing on who we are in him and living out of eternity, we will live very different lives. So, we had one huge shaking a number of years ago. I've had a number of shakings in my life. But this one stands out. We got involved with, we were running, well, elders on a church that had been planted in Waterfall. And we had heard about NCMI. Now, please don't take the wrong idea of NCMI. We had heard NCMI, somebody had come down to visit us and said, yes, we're going to the nations, and I wanted to go to the nations, and that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to go and be a missionary. So we sold the house, packed all our stuff in the thing. I had a job transfer in Johannesburg. We were going to go and join Bryanston, New Covenant. As the truck is going up the hill, Glenn, I get a phone call. Sorry, the job's fallen through. The owner's died. Sorry, please, there's no job for you. Oh, Lord. So we get to Joburg. We're going to Joburg because I'm going to go be a missionary. We rent a house, no job, no money. After 6 months, the kid's in private school at Bryanston. Glenn's working. I'm not working. Finally, I get a job. To cut this whole story short, we joined Bryanston. But I had one meeting with the leader, because I was leading the church at that time. And I still remember the coffee shop, and I still remember this conversation. He said, I don't know you, you don't know me. And he used the whole Jeremiah scripture, plant houses, build, da-da-da-da-da. I looked at this man, and in my heart, I picked up an offense straight away. What he said was truth, but I couldn't take it. Because my mindset was missionary, the church will support us, and they will send us. Their thing was, you're going to be a tent maker and go and do. Get to know the thing. I knew nothing about apostolic eldership and all those type of things. I knew nothing. And I picked up an offense. And for the next 10 years, I carried that offense. If anybody, forgive me, what do I about to say? You can scratch it out. That anybody mentioned NCMI, I would go cold. I'd got to the point of thinking they were a cult. Literally. Russ, don't look at me, sir. And I battled, because every church, I still got in planting churches, because the job that I got was with Grace Music, and I went around the whole country and all over the world with Grace Music. You know? And we planted churches, Cape Town, Joburg. We were still doing the ministry, but with the fence. Me, not her. Literally, Glenn didn't know anything about it. She just carried on. And for 18 months, I applied for everything. I said, I'll go on mission trips. I'll do this. I'll run Sunday school. I'll run youth. No, 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 no. And I got bent out of shape, literally bent out of shape. But God was working in me. And, you know, we landed up planting a church, landed up in hospital with a nervous breakdown. I was interviewed in hospital for a job. Another miracle. And God said, I want you to go back to the church you left. I said, Bryanston? No. Yeah, God and I'm having this battle. I said, you want to go back and you're going to go and repent. I said, what to for? They wrong, I'm right. And I had to go back and repent. I had to go and ask for forgiveness. And as soon as I did, God released me. God released me. And the healing came. And within 3 years, we went to Northridge. God just opened the doors. Because God was dealing with me, but I had picked up an offense. And there's some of us are sitting here that are walking with offenses of, well, It's happened in our past. Some of us are walking with unforgiveness towards a mother, a father, a son or a daughter because of how they've hurt us. You'll never receive, get into your destiny walking with those things in your life. Get rid of them. If Jesus could forgive you and die on the cross, you can forgive that person. There's a shaking. There was a shaking that went. But God wanted to bring me into a destiny. How much time have I got left? 5 minutes? Okay. 5 minutes. Okay. 5 minutes. 5, 10 minutes now. Oh, that's good. Much of our lives have been shaken today. If you'll ever look at one scripture in 2 Timothy 3:1-2, it says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. What are we seeing today? And we are getting shaken because of those things that we see on the thing. But there was one man, and I'm going to rush through these quickly. One man, Joseph. You know the story of Joseph's. Okay. Joseph was, as we know, the man with the technicolor dream coat. He was a man of vision. He got given a vision as a young man. He was also a favored son in Jacob's household. But he was also an honest man. He told it as it was. He told the truth, which got him into a lot of trouble. But Joseph also was an obedient son. When Jacob said, go and see, look for your brothers, he went. But he also, Joseph also was a man of perseverance. And some of these qualities, you might think, I've got those qualities. Then he goes on and says, Joseph had a servant's heart. He served somebody else's vision all his life. He never served his own vision. But out of Joseph's life, 4 things happened that shook Joseph because he had the vision, but he wasn't in his destiny. And God wants to shake some of us so much to get rid of things that we have put on or try to do or try to work out in our lives. Don't ever try and work out prophecy. I tried for 40 years, didn't work. And God is still fulfilling that prophecy. But I kicked doors down. I did everything to get to what God wanted me because I knew I was called. But God had his timing. And 4 things, quickly, that God had to chase out of Joseph to get him into his purpose and his destiny. And the first one was the favor of man. The favor of man will not get you into where God wants you to be. You might have all the qualifications. You might have been to Bible college. You might have been the greatest orator. You might have all the credentials. But none of that will get you into what God's purpose and plan is for your life. The favor of man will never promote you. It might promote you for a short while, but everything will come falling down sooner or later. Because man cannot keep you there. Only God can. See, God had to remove the favor of man from Joseph's life. What's the second thing? There was a second shaking in Joseph's life. Sexual temptation. You know the story in Genesis 39:9? Potiphar's wife came to him and he turns around and he says these words, my master has withheld nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against, not Potiphar, against my God? See, hidden sin will compromise you. Hidden sin that you do behind closed doors or you do at night, the way you treat your husband or your wife, or what you think behind closed door will compromise you and you'll start seeing differently to what the Word of God says. Everybody's doing it. Young people, under huge pressures today. But it had to be dealt with in Joseph's life. What's the third thing? Impatience. Impatience. Joseph was thrown into prison and he had two visions, two dreams, two interpretations. One was for the baker and one was for the cupbearer. Both came true. But he said to one of them, cupbearer, thank you, remember me when you get out. Joseph had been thrown into prison, but he had found favor in prison. He said, remember me when you're in prison, when you get out. What did the cupbearer do? He forgot. He forgot. Impatience will cause stress. And we will try and work it out. We will try and make it happen. Ask me. I've tried to make things happen all the time. I've kicked doors down. I've hurt my foot more than the door. But that's the thing. We try and work it out. Then we use manipulation and deception. If I just do this and I just... Okay. What does Hebrews 6:15 says, declares, and so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what he was promised. See, even Abraham was impatient. He took Hagar. And what do we got? Problems. What was the fourth shaking? Things of his past would be revealed. He had to face his brothers. And often to receive... You see, Joseph had got up to second in command. But there was one more thing that he had to deal with. It was a heart issue. How was he going to deal with his brothers? Was he going to be harsh? Was he going to diss them? Was he going to throw them out? Was he going to persecute them? No, he wept over them. And he said, this is what he said in Genesis 45. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold in Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me there, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Your destiny is to save lives. Your destiny is Matthew 28:18-19, go into all the world, baptize. Every one of you have been called a missionary or disciple to go into all the world and make disciples. That's your inheritance. What are you doing? Are you prepared to just get to your destination in a passenger plane? Or are you prepared to buckle up and get into a jet plane and go for a ride of your life? Because I tell you now, when you're obedient, God sets you free. When you're obedient, he will take you higher, faster, and further than you've ever been before. That's what he wants to do to every single one. You might say, I'm too old to get into a jet plane. No, get into a mindset, nobody's too old in God's kingdom. Nobody's too old. Everybody can fulfill what God has planned for you if you're prepared to obey. Amen.